Welcome to Everything Scary. My name is Lynn, and I'm here with my co-host, local celebrity. sorry, international celebrity.
Thank you.
Matt McLean.
Hello, hello.
Every Tuesday, we release a new episode, mostly true crime, but we've also been known to cover a pandemic, a haunting, a super mad, super strong chimpanzee. We'll cover anything and everything scary. Please rate us 5 stars and join us on Instagram at Everything Scary Pod. Here we go. I think we're recording, yes.
We're so official.
Was that aggressive?
It was not aggressive, but it was like 3, 2, 1.
As long as we've been doing this, which is well over a year now, I have never been responsible for this part of it. So
yeah, you're driving.
3 of our last 4 episodes have just been me and you mid-conversation. I press record and then our editor's like, where do I start with this?
Shout it to Chris. What up?
Yeah, what up, Chris?
Thank you for taking all of Lynn's swear words out.
It's the ums that he takes.
Oh, yeah?
I'm like, I try my best not to listen to a raw copy of anything. But sometimes I'm like, oh God, Chris, can you please take out all those ums? He's like, I've already got through like half of them. I'm like, fantastic. So this case.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you about a fucking case today.
Okay.
So this case we're going to cover right now. Is there anything you want to say off the top of the show? Do you have any extracurriculars that we should touch on? We said shout outs to our Patreons in the last.
Extracurriculars? No, I got a nephew in town. My nephew Connor is from Australia.
And he has I've noticed that your Australian accent has actually been getting a lot better since he's been here. So
yes,
that's neat.
He speaks full Australian.
Can you now, from now on, do the podcast in Australia?
Yes, you so can. I reckon it'd be pretty good and quite popular. So yes,
I love it.
We have been doing everything possible. We went to Horseshoe, which is just like a little good if you're not around from here. It sounds really big. Ski resort. Yeah. Yes. I went skiing, which, okay, here's my issue.
Oh, so I guess he's never been skiing or anything, eh?
Never. And just like my brother, his dad, a natural athlete.
Ew,
which,
really?
As a natural couch potato myself, that casts quite a big shadow growing
up. To be
up.
Fair, though, like, I hate to say this and like, you know, Canada, love you. Everybody in Canada, I love you. I just feel like Australians are like superhuman.
Yes.
Like
they're next level.
And they're all so good looking.
Yeah.
Even the fucking Wiggles.
The Wiggles. Well, there's a Hot Wiggle, isn't there?
My kids are too old for it now, but like Lockie was the Hot Wiggle when I was back in my day.
Back my day, the Hot Wiggle.
But okay, yeah, so that's awesome. Do you guys have, how much longer is he here for? A couple of weeks?
He's here, so mom and dad are back tomorrow. He's got another weekend and change.
And are you doing anything, do you have anything scheduled?
I don't think so.
You should take him to Medieval Times.
Ah, dinner and tournament. That's a great idea.
That's where I'm taking my kid next week.
Really?
Birthday. He's turning 7. I'm fucking...
Sweet.
Yep.
I'll send an Australian.
Fucking bring
Instead
it on.
Instead of a clown, you can just talk. And kids are fascinated with the Australian
accent. I buy him a Wiggle shirt, then he can just talk at my kids?
100%.
Ooh, never mind. Fucking Bluey. Bluey's Australian.
Yeah. Oh, so they send all of like this, I guess, I don't know what you'd even call it, original or like locally done Bluey merch. They have been for the last 2 years, I guess, sending all of this Australian exclusive Bluey stuff to my sister for her kid.
Really?
Yeah. Who's super obsessed with Bluey. And they're like, do you know Bluey? I'm like, yes, my murder podcast host lady loves Bluey.
I fucking love Bluey. I went and I had my kids, I had merch made for them because there's this one scene and it's these two little kid dogs, right? Mm-hmm. And they're Australian. They're fucking cute as can be. But they will always do this thing called grannies. Mm-hmm. And so as little kids, they put on like glasses and they put on like, you know, they're wrapped in a blankie and stuff like that. And so the parents play along because apparently the parents are like fucking tenfold what kind of a parent I am because they're always in the mood to play imaginary.
With the dogs.
With their, well, their parent dogs.
Oh, it's a dog family?
They're all blue heelers. Yeah.
Okay. Not so, Australian shepherds?
No, I don't fucking know. Matt, take it up with your nephew.
Well, I mean, it's Australian. But yeah, okay. That makes sense.
But so.
Take it up with my nephew. It has nothing to do with the shit.
So he, they're playing this game and it's Janet and I can't remember the other one's name, but they're little old lady dogs. And so the one, they go to this store, they're pretending to go to the store and the mom's the shopkeeper. And she's like, oh, hi, Janet. Hi, so-and-so. Like, sorry, you can't come in today. We're all closed up for the day. And then the one, she's like, it's okay, dear. And she walks in and she steals like a whole bunch of cans. And then she's like trying to make her way out as a little old lady. And then all the cans of beans fall, and she falls, slips on them, and she goes, I slipped on my beans. So I had shirts made up for my kids with them, the Bluey characters falling, and it said, I slipped on my beans.
Amazing.
Still to this day, we get a fucking good laugh at it.
I think that is fantastic. Slipped on my beans.
I slipped on my beans.
We went, so yeah, he nailed it. Like nailed skiing. I'm a green guy. I love like a bunny hill. Give me a good magic carpet. But I was looking and I'm like, okay, there's green, which is like easy way up top. You take the big chairlift, you can go up and you can do a little green connects to kind of a larger green, about 2/3 away down the mountain, and it brings you all the way down. I'm like,
sounds like a black to me.
Jackpot. Well, they close second green.
So what, do you just have to live there now?
or you can go down a black diamond or whatever a blue square is. I went down on which is known as a white bum, which is I took my skis off and I scooted down because I was so afraid.
Was your nephew?
They were on the they were on the other side of the mountain and not my problem.
A white bum?
Yep. Just scooted down.
You're like, ladies, hello.
Ladies, please. One at a time. But yes, I am single. You nailed it. You know what? Crazy. You got it.
Just all wet from the fucking.
Oh, and then we went to the spa for like 6 hours.
You needed it after all that wet bumming. Or white bumming.
Both.
Oh, my God. That's. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think I saw. Was it your brother that posted? Whatever you were tagged in. And it was like. You three guys at the spa, yeah. Spa brothers or something.
Spa bros, just broing down at the spa. Yeah, it was great. Like, talked about, like, feelings and everything.
I'm
like,
really,
broing down with my big brother and his son. It was great.
I'm really, really concerned that somebody can just pick up skiing.
Yes.
That comes from a country that doesn't fucking have snow.
Yeah, and I asked him, is there any translatable skill or transferable skill from, like,
surfing,
water
maybe?
Skiing? He said, no, not really. Now, he's a skateboarder, so he was going to do snowboarding the next day, but with weather, couldn't do it. He said, that's transferable to snowboarding, but nothing to skiing.
Wow.
Just fearless.
Good for him. Good for him. I tried to do snowboarding once, and I thought that I had to live on I was going to become a mountain person. I ended up falling. I don't even know how I did it, but I fell on my crotch on the snowboard, and I just had bruises all up the back of my ass. Like, it was, and I was with a guy. I was like trying to impress, and then it was just a fucking nightmare.
I would think the impress level either goes up or down when the crotch takes the snowboard hit.
I mean, it wasn't taking any other hit after that.
Oh, it was fine. The best situation. Like, look, Casanova, thanks for helping me off the mountain. We're done here.
He didn't help me up the mountain. He circled like 4 times.
Oh my God. What an ass.
It was so humiliating.
He did not.
And then the next day I was just fucking bruised. So it was like my confidence and like my whole body.
And your crotch.
And my crotch.
You're like, my body is my crotch. Like, what? I'm bruised.
Yeah, my body was a wonderland, but it was like a fucking,
like the vortex.
It was
like
not the good wonderland. It was like
if your body's a wonderland.
Like, it was like a fucking landfill or something.
Oh my God, don't sue.
It was just a goddamn nightmare.
Your body's not a landfill.
Thank you so much.
You're so sweet.
That was a really nice thing to say.
Oh, shit.
So let's jump into this horrible murder case. Let me just make sure we're recording.
Awesome.
Oh, fuck, we got it all.
Yeah?
We got all that gold. Oh.
Jackpot.
So we're going to go back to Saturday, July the 16th of 2011.
Okay.
We are in Port St. Lucie, Florida. A 17-year-old at Port St. Lucie High School named Tyler Hadley. Does that name ring any bells to you?
No.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I will post to our Facebook tonight in our Patreon-only Facebook and see. But I would be willing to say that like people who really listen to true crime, this is, I think, a fairly
like a notorious case within that
case, yeah.
Community. Did Nancy Grace do a show on it?
No, Nancy Grace really likes to fucking tear into, like, you know, 30-year-old blonde women. That's like,
well, I'm calling and you're not answering. I think that her and Dr. Phil are run by the same person.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think Dr. Phil's run by anybody. You know, I hate to say this because everyone hates him so much, but I really love Dr. Phil.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. So many people are like, he's a piece of shit and he just, he's a sellout. And I'm like, no, listen to me for a second. I really love him.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's a sellout. I think he's Jerry Springer with a really, really nice suit. I think that once he's, the day he did the paternity test episode. The first one that Dr. Phil ever did. I said, okay, we're done. That is when Oprah and lost all credibility.
And he was like, did Matt McClain just sign off?
No. hey, Rob, put that makeup down. I think we lost a McClain boy up in Canada.
Okay, so 17-year-old Tyler Hadley made a Facebook post at 12:15 on that day. And it read, party at my crib tonight, ..
Whoop, whoop.
Maybe.
Oh.
The message would get passed around. And although a lot of kids saw the message and they were interested in going to the party, not many of them would have been able to point out Tyler in a crowd.
Mm.
He had a few close friends, but aside from that, nobody really liked him. Nobody really disliked him. It was just kind of like he was...
furniture.
He was stationed there. Yeah. So... after what would turn out to be an infamous party, a lot of the party goers would be asked how they knew Tyler. And it was a lot of like a friend of a friend of a friend's kind of thing. And so later on that evening, around 8:15, Tyler posted another message on Facebook and it said, party at my house, hit me up.
I think I know this story.
Really?
I think so. I'm going to write something down and then just, you continue. I'm just for myself.
So, when people started arriving to the party, there seemed to be like an utter disregard for this home. People were breaking glasses. They were dropping drinks. Someone broke one of the dining room chairs.
Oh my God.
It was turning into a fucking rager.
Sweet ass party.
And Tyler was there, but again, not everybody knew whose house this party was. And even if they had have known who Tyler was, he wasn't really doing anything. He was just fucking just standing there. Mm. And so people...
oh, he wasn't like actively like, come on, guys, let's go.
Fly
on the wall.
A lot of people would describe him as rolling. I think that's what the kids call it when you're on all sorts of chemicals.
Oh, I thought you like rolling joints.
No, like rolling eyeballs.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Thank you so much.
Rolling
eyeballs. I didn't invent it.
Oh, yeah, rolling. Is that what Adele's song Rolling in the Deep is about? Oh,
Adele loves ecstasy.
Stop.
It's crazy.
Why do you think she moved to Vegas? Yeah. Hello.
Yeah, fucking ecstasy.
Ecstasy capital of Nevada.
Is that true?
I don't know. I'm just throwing shade.
I don't even fucking know anything about weed. Wine, though. I mean, if it comes in a box, I can tell you about it. So, you know, he was there. He was standing by just doing his own Tyler thing. They would say that he was really withdrawn. He was very clearly on ecstasy. And he was just rubbing his hands together the entire time. Like a tweaker.
Yeah, rolling. No, no pacifier. That was big in high school when people were on ecstasy. They had a pacifier.
Ew, really?
Yeah, I went to school with losers.
Like, where is it like real? Like, they went to the baby section and bought a susu?
I don't think so. I think
a
that
special they, kind of grown up.
I believe that they were adult binkies. Funny. Aww. You say susu, I say a binky.
Super cute.
Yeah.
So, you know, they would say that Tyler would often just leave just to like be by himself. And he'd go and sit up in like the back of a pickup truck and just kind of like have a moment to himself. He'd just be staring off into nowhere. Some of the kids that arrived at the party would say that the fucking house stunk all the high hell.
Sorry.
What is so funny about that?
Just because I wrote down something and then you said that. And I think I'm right.
Okay. Well,
that's it.
Let's see.
I'm very happy.
Oh, wow. Fantastic.
Yeah. No, I'm not happy. Sorry. That's awful to say.
If you're right, then we have a problem we need to talk about. Because if you're this happy about
you're
what
right,
happened.
You're right. The giant red flag.
Yeah.
Here.
Huge red flag. So, you know, one kid even actually exclaimed that the house smelled like death. And in response to this, someone else yelled out that the kid throwing the party probably killed his parents. But it was clearly a joke. The guy just kept laughing and he was drinking and it was fine. Everyone was having a good time, Matt. Don't worry about it.
My God, get out of here.
Other kids, you know, were in charge of keeping the music going, which at this day and age was only YouTube. There wasn't YouTube music. So it was like, just fucking get to listen to all those commercials.
Oh, and music videos.
Yeah. So, you know, they were putting on their cool songs and the kid that was doing it was like, this fucking computer is really nasty. Like,
click to skip. Click to skip.
So then somebody had like clearly spilled some sort of like a disgusting thick liquid all over the keyboard of this family computer. And it was causing the keys to stick. Off of the kitchen, there was like this hallway that led to a locked door where Tyler, you know, he seemed really on edge whenever he'd watch people go down that hallway. But the door was locked. Nobody could get in. But people had ventured down the hallway, and they did notice that there was like a big foot-long kind of like black brown smear at the base of the door. As a matter of fact, it looked like whatever had been spilled on like the computer had also been spilled at the bottom of this door. It was actually in like the baseboards and stuff too. And there was like some like, you know, in the grout of the tile.
Okay. See, that's red flag. When you said the teenager had sticky keyboard, I was like, okay, that's not normal to me. That's not a big issue. But everything else, very big red flag.
I mean, unless he was home alone for a while, he could just sticky the whole house up.
I don't get it.
Well, what were you suggesting was on his keyboard?
Oh, well, I'm a pervert, but you're a lady. How dare you?
I'm just playing in what
How
you said.
How dare you?
So... You know, as a matter of fact, it looked like something had like really seriously spilled. Like maybe it was like a bottle of red wine, or like was it Coca-Cola, maybe beer.
But a dark sticky liquid.
Sticky liquid. Actually, one of the party goers remembered that they were playing beer pong and the ball bounced onto the floor.
Oh, no.
And it actually got stuck in like a...
Oh.
Yeah, it was kind of like a pile of this thing.
I could just...
Yeah, right in. So, you know, they rinsed it off, continued playing.
Oh, no, they didn't.
Of course they did. They were playing beer pong at a party. What do you mean? Would you get another beer ball? Beer ball? Is that what they're called?
A ping pong ball. Thousands of times in my life. Dust it off the ball.
Yeah.
Just throw it back in there.
Exactly. You really think, I guarantee it wasn't a very thorough rinse either. It was like,
no. And you know what? Us idiots were saying, you know what? The alcohol will disinfect it all.
Disinfected.
Because you know, the percentage of alcohol in beer is high enough to kill any sort of germ.
I mean, to be fair, this is in America. So it's even lower. At first, you know, Tyler was very strict about smoking in the house. Like, a few people remembered him saying, like, this is my parents' house. Like, stop smoking. Mm-hmm. You have to go outside to smoke, which is weird because he didn't seem like he was overly concerned about it. Like, the dining room chair getting smashed.
Right.
No problem. Please don't smoke liquids in the house.
No more darts, guys.
It's really, really disrespectful. So, yeah, he would tell people, it's my parents' house. Go outside. And if they were respectful enough to follow, you know, anything at all, it was that one rule. So a lot of the people were going outside. Mm-hmm. But then Tyler seemed concerned about the amount of guests that were outside because, you know, they were causing a racket. And by midnight, there was nearly 60 guests at his home.
Ooh.
A lot of those people were smoking outside. And along with smoking outside, they were flicking their butts onto the lawn and they were tossing empty cans into the garden. Now, this was a very modest, quaint neighborhood, but there were neighbors on either side. Mm. And the home itself is just above 1,300 square feet. So this is not a big piece of property.
Right.
Especially when you have 60 party
teenagers.
Yes. So Tyler didn't want the police to be called to his house. I mean, who would?
Nobody.
Nobody. Especially Tyler. So
of course. Oh my God, I just thought of that dynamic. Of course. You're throwing a party. You don't want the cops to be called.
No. So he did eventually tell the smokers, you know what? I fucking just decided I love cigarettes.
New rule.
Get in here.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
Crack a window. Do me a solid.
And then they started like, you know, teenagers because they're, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast and you're a teenager, you're not a piece of shit, but a lot of your friends probably are.
Yes.
You're
the good one though.
Yeah. You're the great one. Mm. They were putting out their cigarette butts on like the family carpet and like on the countertop and on the fucking couch. As I was writing this, I was just getting so fucking mad because I'm like, how does that make you feel better about yourself? You just ruined someone's, something that they worked hard for. You know what I mean? Really was pissing me off. I was like, this man. Kid.
I'd love to talk to some of these people that were at this party.
Yeah. So
I would not ask them about their cigarette habits though.
You will hear from some of the people that were at this party and they are fucking morons. So regardless of this little asshole punk that's throwing the party, you know, there's somebody that cares about this furniture and this home. Like, clearly, it was a home. It wasn't like, you know, a fucking drug house or anything like that. It was someone's home. And they were being destructive for no reason at all. And when they were doing this and they had this little fucking asshole kid that was doing this party, you know, he's walking around in these stupid fucking, it was like Nike Force Air high top black shoes that like,
okay,
you know, his parents that have tried to put home this beautiful house for him, no doubt bought them for him because he's, yeah, and he's just allowing these pieces of shit to come in. And we will find out that's the least of our problems, but like, this is as a mom where my head was going to.
Okay.
And I'm now individually mad at all three of my kids.
After reading this?
Yeah. So Tyler did freak out at one point.
Okay.
When one of the partygoers came in with a mailbox that they had stolen from a neighbor's lawn. Tyler started screaming a bit of being a felony. And he said, I don't need the cops to show up. So when people asked where his parents were, the answers were always changing. Yeah. Sometimes they were in Georgia. Other times he would tell people that his parents were in Orlando, or he would tell them that they no longer lived there and the house was his. 17 years old, his parents were like, you know what? You've earned it.
Like, you know what? They're sleeping. Oh, really? Yeah, let's just say they're dead tired.
Yeah. At some point, the beer supply started to run out, so Tyler asked a 21-year-old friend of his named Mark to go with him and purchase some more beer for the party.
Come on, Mark.
Mm-hmm. So Tyler would give him a stack of 20s, and Mark agreed that he would do this, and he brought his girlfriend Ashley along. And while Mark was in the store purchasing the beer, Tyler told Ashley that his father had passed away. And, you know, Ashley thought this is just little
weird
drunk teenager kid talk. And she thought like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, she thought, you know, he must have passed away natural causes, or he was sick or whatever. She offered her condolences and just otherwise carried on with her night. When they arrived back with the beer, which was like four cases of Busch beer.
Oh,
right. So Mark and Ashley would stay for a little while longer. And as they were about to leave, Tyler asked Mark if he could talk to him privately. Mark was one of the people who actually did know Tyler. He had lived down the street from him for a number of years. And Mark's younger brother was actually friends with Tyler. But Mark would later recall a time when Tyler had showed up at his house when he was 10 years old. And he was very angry. And he had had a fight with his mom. He told Mark at 10 years old that he vowed he would kill his mother someday.
Oh.
Whoa.
Mm.
So at this party, when Tyler pulled him aside and said, dude, I know you're not going to believe me. No one will believe me. I freaking killed somebody.
Whoa.
And I assume Mark kind of had a relatively good idea of who he was dealing with. And, you know, if this kid was 10 years old threatening to kill people, he probably was not completely within his faculties. And Mark responded by saying, dude, you killing somebody is your business. Don't be telling me that sort of thing.
Wow. Wow. What a response.
He's like, I'm leaving.
Hey, listen, keep that over there, man.
Let's just pretend this conversation never happened. Listen. Enjoy your beer. Go fuck yourself. How does that sound?
That's right. Enjoy your bush.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Said no one ever. So.
Hey.
So with that, Mark fucked off and tried to forget everything that just happened.
With that, Mark went to go fuck himself.
So, one girl who attended the party was a girl named Stephanie. She actually had a crush on Tyler. You know, he was like that dark, brooding type. Like
quiet poet, mysterious.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. She said that, you know, she found him interesting. But she said that at the party, she found an old, half-blind beagle that had been locked in the shower.
Aww.
He was shaking and really petrified. Of course, there's this giant party going on in his home. And I chose to include this for two reasons. One, because we'll find out that there were two poor dogs in this household later on.
Aww.
And, you know, they were both absolutely petrified. And B, I feel for poor Stephanie, and I wonder if she can ever trust her own judgment in guys again.
And C, dogs rule.
Yeah, that is C. It's like you read my script. Now, one of the interviews that I read was that of Tyler's best friend. His name was Michael Mandel. And it was an ABC News article in which Michael goes into some detail of that night. He said that at about 2 a.m., Tyler told Michael that he needed to talk to him. Michael had grown up a block away from Tyler, and he said that one day when he was 8, he literally just walked out of his house and decided to walk around the neighborhood and look for friends.
Really?
Yeah, he's like, hey. But he ended up running into
Probably
Tyler.
Probably worked. Works.
I mean, sounds like my nightmare, but okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's just going out looking for a little bud.
Want to be my friend?
Yeah, you want to be friends? So he met Tyler, and over the years, the two of them became best friends. So on this night, Tyler took him out in front of the house and he looked at him and he said, "Mike, I killed my parents."
Oh my God.
To which Michael responded, "No, you didn't, Tyler. Shut up. What are you talking about?"
I'm sorry. This is at the party.
They went to walk. I think I read that they were going to like walk down the street to the stop sign and he just wanted to tell him.
Yeah. Okay.
And this is like the most fucking cryptic response. This one gives me nightmares. So Michael said, "You know, what are you talking about?" And Tyler responded, "If you look closely enough, you can see signs." And then he said, "Mike, look at the driveway. All the cars are there. My parents aren't in Orlando. I killed my parents."
Jesus.
Right? So Michael said that after that, the two walked into the garage and Tyler showed him a bloody shoe print that he had left. At this point, Michael said that he demanded to see, you know, he said, "What's going on here? I want to see them dead if you really did it. I don't believe you. Tyler told him that he would show him, but he wanted to wait for the party to die down and, you know, a bit of the guests to thin out a little bit.
I mean, that would probably do it.
But Michael was thoroughly freaked out at this point, and he refused to wait.
What a weirdo.
Yeah.
All right, you know what? Okay, that's fine. Show me your dead parents later, but I gotta go dance. I love this song.
So Michael made his way to the primary bedroom, and he now realized that the brown stain on the floor that many people had noticed and hadn't properly identified.
Ping pong ball.
Yeah. The ping pong ball stopper is what we'll call that.
Oh, no.
So it was more than likely a drying pool of blood. Michael unlocked the bedroom door, and what he saw was fucking chaos.
Wait, why did the blood turn brown?
When it dries, it turns more of a dark brown.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So there was blood everywhere.
Right.
There was blood all over the walls. There was blood. It was soaked into the floor. And then there was just furniture stacked up high on...
Oh, make way for the party.
Well...
Oh.
Anything that had... Aside from the computer, because the computer, they needed for music. But aside from that, anything with blood or gore or anything like that, Tyler had just fucking thrown it on top of his parents.
Oh. I'm sorry, in their bedroom?
Yes. So I'll tell you exactly how they had been lying, but stacked high on one side of the room was blood-soaked towels, all just thrown into a giant pile. And at the bottom of the pile, Michael said that he could see the leg of Tyler's father, Blake.
Wow.
And that was when he knew that his best friend had not been lying about what he had done. Michael could not believe what he was seeing, and he would later say that in that moment, he wasn't overly concerned standing there with somebody who could do this. He didn't see Tyler as a murderer. He still saw him as his best friend. And he knew that once he left the party, he would be calling it in. And he would never see his best friend again.
When does he leave the party?
45 minutes later.
Oh my God. That is way too long to stay at a party.
First of all, you're being rude because he's not going to see his best friend ever again.
Oh my!
So he wanted to take a selfie with him.
You're shitting me.
I am not shitting you.
God.
I am the opposite of shitting you.
You're peeing on me? Oh, God. You better stop it.
I don't know if that's the complete opposite.
No, I don't think so.
I would argue that those two are relatively the same. Oh,
I wonder if that's like, because you're going to be shitting me. And then there's also like taking the piss.
You've been hanging around with Australians too long.
Yeah. Are you taking the piss?
You even said it kind of Australian.
Yeah, that's right.
So, like I said, Michael's actions following the discovery would end up being scrutinized quite a bit.
Actually, like you said, I was rude for scrutinizing it.
So, you know, he did stay. He talked to Tyler, who told him exactly what he had done and how he had done it.
Ugh.
And the two would pose together for what would later become a pretty infamous photo. But again, Michael said that he knew this would be the last photo that he would ever take with his best friend. So, you know.
That's so fucking disturbing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Can you just still be friends with your friend after? I guess you don't want to abandon your friends in their time of, but then they're killers. So fuck
I think
them,
that in that moment, like, I think I did read or heard somewhere that Michael didn't drink, but he did do drugs. I don't think that probably he was absorbing the gravity of the situation. Of it, yes.
Yeah. Right.
So naturally, Michael knew Tyler's parents. His father, Blake, and his mother, Mary Jo, had moved to the area 24 years prior so that they could help in taking care of Blake's parents. At the time of their death, Blake was 54 and Mary Jo was 47. Isn't Blake like a really like modern sounding name though?
Yeah, for like an older guy. That's very odd.
I would just never picture a 54-year-old Blake.
Mm-hmm.
Although Blake Shelton's getting up there too, so what do I know?
Oh yeah, good call.
So, Mary Jo was a beloved teacher at Village Green Environmental School. She had worked there for the entire 24 years that they'd been in the area, and no one had anything but glowing things to say about Mary Jo. Oh. They even said that, like, even with the students that she didn't particularly care for, she would never give up on anybody. She always gave the exact same amount of effort with every single student that she had in her class, nice. Regardless. Blake had worked for 30 years as an engineer at St. Lucie Nuclear Plant on Hutchinson Island.
Wow.
It's a lot of stuff to say. I think he might be like Mr. Burns.
Yeah, something like that. Okay. Well, actually, maybe but more nicer. Homer Wait. Simpson.
Or Smithers, because he was nice. And mm-hmm. Blake was a fucking fantastic human being.
Is Blake a gay guy, by chance?
No.
Smithers is a bit of a gay guy.
No, these two were super in love.
Okay.
Yeah, they even, like, after they got married, I think it was, it might have been on the Morbid podcast that I heard Elena say that the password for Mary Jo's, like, to get into one of her emails or something was, like, I love,
oh.
And then it was, like his initials, and then, like, their wedding date, like, the numbers of their wedding date.
Oh, that's cute.
It was super cute. Mine has a lot to do with Taylor Hanson. I'm not going to give anybody any specifics.
Oombop 69420.
So, a coworker, Blake, said, I don't think I ever saw him get angry at anyone or anything. And we've been in some pretty tough working conditions together at times. He didn't have a mean bone in his entire body.
Listen, you get stressed out and short with people. I think if you're an engineer at a nuclear power plant, you're okay to stress out and be short sometimes.
They actually said that this family was the only real faults that Mary Jo and Blake had was that they didn't really have it in them to be super good disciplinarians. Mm. They tried with their boys because they did. Tyler had an older brother named Ryan, who was 6 years older than him. Mm. But the family went to church together. You know, they really didn't like having to punish their kids.
Right.
But when Tyler was about 12 to 13, things started to take a turn. He started to suffer from anxiety and depression. He was falling in with the wrong crowds. And some of the neighbor parents even started banning their own children from hanging out with Tyler. One parent even caught Tyler and some boys after they had dragged a couch into River Park Wildlife Preserve. They doused it with an accelerant and lit it on fire.
Jeez.
The cops and the firefighters had to come, but the boys ended up being let off with a warning. This same neighbor had caught Tyler smoking at like a super young age. And when she told Mary Jo about it, Mary Jo responded by saying, my son doesn't smoke.
I don't know, man. That fire. Right? Lighter, fire with the couch.
In a nature preserve. Like,
yeah.
So the neighbor, you know, told her, like, I'm so sorry, but I saw him doing it. But Mary Jo was just like, no, not my son.
Not my boy.
Not my boy. So everyone who knew Tyler, including his own brother, Ryan, who had just moved to North Carolina 6 weeks prior to this party. He was going to school. He was living with his fiance at the time. Everyone called Tyler a pathological liar. That was like, it would be in like the top three things that you would use to describe
him. No matter what it is, mm-hmm. he's full of something fierce.
He's full of it. So, you know, through all of his struggles and hard times, his mom, Mary Jo, was like his fucking cheerleader. Mm. Like, she had his back for everything. And it's like, I said they weren't great at, like, disciplining their kids, but she was still very fucking proactive. Like, she knew he was in trouble, his mental, he's not in a good place. So her biggest fear was that one day Tyler was going to do something to himself. And that scared the absolute shit out of her. As
That's
a mom,
a
like,
any parent, yeah,
terrifying,
of course.
Terrifying, yeah. You know. So another thing, so when he was a bit younger, Mary Jo had taken him to a doctor's appointment and the doctor had said something like not meaning anything by it, but he'd called Tyler sturdy and then Tyler developed an eating disorder, like a pretty aggressive eating disorder as well. He was suffering from bulimia.
Okay. I could see how sturdy would be like an insult for weight.
Yeah. So it was like, you know, like people know your brain isn't fully done developing until you're 25 years old. So Tyler was now, you know, starving his brain of nutrients. He's doing these drugs. He was actually born super premature. Hmm. He only weighed 3 pounds and 10 ounces at the time of his birth, and he had to be incubated for the first few months of his life. And because Mary Jo was a super concerned mother, and she was worried that he's going to be small in stature, and she also was having him for a period of his life injected with the human growth hormone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I did like very minimal research on it.
Yeah, you are looking great today, by the way. You are dedicated to your craft. I will say that.
So, you know, he was taking these growth hormones and then it could cause like type 2 diabetes and it could make like tumors grow in him. Oh, like, if you, yeah. And then like also breast tissue in males, mm-hmm. it can make like, I shouldn't be telling you this. You're just going to go and get it.
No, I know that, yeah, like a lot of wrestlers have to get surgery on their boobs. Yeah, they have to get the fat sucked out. There's not a year, but a few months in the 90s, I believe, maybe early 2000s, where The Rock wore silk shirts because he had the fat sucked out of his boobs.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Would you look at that?
There you go. Well, Rock fact.
I don't know how wrestling seems to like venture its way into every single podcast, but it does.
Hey, it's kinda like me with Hanson. I like what I like.
So, in June of 2010, Tyler, who was in his father's truck. So basically, I'm just giving you a rundown of all like, you know, things that could have affected him as a child and like what led to what is happening right now. So in June of 2010, Tyler was in his father's truck. He ended up hitting a child while driving. The kid's family was like, the kid survived, but he had a lot of medical bills.
Yeah.
So they were suing the Hadleys and Tyler was actually set to give a deposition in August of 2011, so a month after the party, the murders.
Do you do that deposition still, or I guess not? They're like, oh, they're we like, got bitter. Right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so, you know, like, with all of these things, like, I'm sure that was something that was also weighing on his mind. Plus, he's doing all these fucking crazy drugs. Like,
yeah,
who knows what, you know, being premature had, what kind of effect that had on him. Like, he's, by the time he was 15, he was just, like, a full-blown drug addict and, like, just drinking constantly.
Like still in school?
He's still in school, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So 10 weeks before killing his parents, Tyler got into like a physical fight and he ended up getting arrested for aggravated battery. He served 1 week in the St. Lucie County Jail. He was then on house arrest for 2 weeks after all that and his parents took his phone away.
That's probably the worst punishment of all. Yes.
So which was something that really sent him off. And he would send a message through Facebook Messenger to a female and he would say, no, don't text me about anything to do with drugs because my mom has my phone and I just don't want it coming through. And she would tell him, she'd say like, go smoke a bowl, like relax. It's not the end of the world. And
what did I just say? What did I just say?
But he said, oh, I used to do that, but now I just drink in excess to fill the void.
Mm-hmm.
So keep in mind that Tyler is only 17 years old at this time.
Wow.
The month before the party, he had come home one night after drinking hard, and his parents made the decision to have him put into a mental health unit. Because I know firsthand, like, I had somebody in my life that was, they were struggling with their mental health, and you have to try to do everything you can do before they turn 18, because it's one of those things that once they turn 18, as long as they're not, like,
they sign themselves out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like, as long as they're not physically harming themselves, like, right. seriously, or someone else, it's out of your hands at that point. So Mary Jo had him go in and she claimed that she was fearful that he was going to hurt himself and claimed that he had low self-esteem, an eating disorder, as well as depression and anxiety. But in the weeks leading up to the party, his mother had started telling her friends that she felt like Tyler was like really rounding a corner. She felt good about things again for the first time in like a long time. Mm-hmm. Tyler even went out with his aunt the very night before this all transpired. And she said he seemed completely fine. She would have not thought for 1 second something was up. But after dinner, he ran into a friend and this friend would tell Tyler that it was his birthday. And Tyler said, oh, great. Happy birthday. And then he said he planned on having a party tomorrow. And, you know, so why don't you come by and celebrate your birthday? So that tells us that he had already planned to kill his parents because his parents weren't going anywhere.
Right. I was going to ask, when did the premeditation...
Weeks before.
Oh, not this. Oh, wow.
No, it was weeks before he had planned this. He had been telling his friends for quite some time that he was planning on having a rager. And his friends kept saying, like, when are you having this rager? When's it happening? And he would say, I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
Wow. My folks would be pissed if I had a party and didn't invite them.
What if you had a party and killed them? Would they be super pissed about that too?
Way more angry for sure. Than if I did.
For sure.
And killing is way worse than not inviting somebody.
That's exactly right. Well.
That's true. It depends on the party.
If it's a Taylor Swift concert.
Wow. Boy, did you see the girl in Australia that was getting the kidney? Or maybe not kidney, with some organ. She was on the list. And so she was on her way to the Taylor Swift concert when she got the call. And she's like, so I was like, okay, wait, hang on. And then I was like, she's like debated it for a second and then turned around. And
no, I mean, know. Why am I disappointed?
I know.
I should not be a doctor.
All right, good news, bad news. Good news is you're going to see Taylor Swift.
Guess what? We found a kidney for you. They're like, oh my God, thank you so much. But I was just on my way to Taylor Swift concert, but I'm going to turn around and be like, what? You're on your way to go.
Yeah.
You're going to keep this on ice for you.
In your kidney replacement era.
So, you know, Tyler had told Michael earlier that day that, well, you know, he's telling him what had happened. And he said, well, I took my parents' cell phones and I hid them because if they were able to get to them, I didn't want them to be able to call for help.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's even a level of thinking.
I know. I know. Wow. He then took 3 pills of ecstasy.
All right.
At this point, just for the record, he was 6'1 and 160 pounds. So, like, I don't know if 3 pills of ecstasy is a lot. What I do know about ecstasy, though, is that isn't it supposed to make you not want to kill people? Like,
I think it makes you, like, horny and, like, you grind your teeth and you want to touch things, like, furry thing. Like, you just want to be stimulated, I think.
Yeah, I don't think ecstasy and then, like, killing people. That's like,
no, it's always ecstasy and like sex. Like, yeah,
ecstasy is like fun. Like, isn't it? Like, that's
the word, yeah, I'm sure, means, yeah, like,
it's not
tons
like
of fun.
Murder.
No.
Pills.
You're right. You know what? I'll tell you, I don't know who does the marketing for ecstasy, but they dodged a bullet with murder pills.
Do you think they have like a whole team?
Oh, of course.
So I'm not sure if that's a lot, but he.
Sounds like a lot.
I think
like three Tylenol for an adult, I would be like, yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. So he then, after he took the X, they call it X, right?
We called it E.
Okay.
I mean, we, like in high school, it was called E.
It's just you and the fucking marketing team. Yes. So he then went into the garage and he got his dad's claw hammer.
Oh, for fuck's sakes. What's with the people in the fucking hammers?
You know what my problem is, where I really draw the line, is if my kids ever come home with a fucking ball peen hammer,
yeah,
get the fuck out.
That's right.
There's no one's ever used it for anything other than murder.
Yeah. Like,
can you just send me to the aisle with the ball peen hammers? They're like, get the fuck to jail. What are you doing in here? So, unfortunately, Mary Jo was seated at the computer table with her back to Tyler. He said that he stood there for 5 minutes. That seems like a really long time to be standing behind someone. I think that the ecstasy may
have... Are you talking?
No, she didn't know he was there.
You're just there.
With a hammer.
Weirdo.
Thinking.
Not that this isn't the thing that makes him the weirdest, but...
this is actually pretty low on that list.
One of the many things.
Yeah. So then he raised the hammer up and he brought it crashing down onto his mother's head.
Oh my God.
And Mary Jo was still awake after the first hit.
Oh, bird.
And she was screaming, why?
Oh, God.
When his father, Blake, ran into the room, Tyler said that he didn't go after him. Like, Blake didn't try to take Tyler down. He would later say that he knew that his parents loved him when his 6'1", 300-pound father didn't try to overtake him. Instead, he just repeated what his wife had said and screamed why to his son, to which Tyler responded, why the fuck not?
Jesus.
And he kept repeating why the fuck not as he brought the hammer down over and over and over again onto his dad. He then laid them side by side in their bedroom, face down on the floor with the hammer in between them. He then spent 3 hours cleaning up, which he found to be an astronomical amount of time. But it's like, it takes me 3 hours to clean up my car. You just committed double homicide. What are you fucking talking about?
Yeah. He did do a good job. The fucking ping pong ball got stuck in the blood pool.
That's exactly right. He did a fucking piss poor job at best. He was like throwing just furniture into their room.
If anything, he tidied.
I don't even think
didn't clean.
Tidy. No.
No.
What he did was he did the murder equivalent of shoving everything under your bed.
Yes, that's right.
So he then proceeded to bury his parents in their own furniture.
Oof.
And like, for me, when I just think of that, I'm like, they bought these pieces of furniture, just building a home for their kids. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like, and then for it just to be like, that's obviously not the worst part about this whole story, clearly. But it's just like,
you're like, you know what gets me? What's that? The end tables. They didn't do anything to anybody.
But I'm just, what I'm trying to say is, it's just like, it's so heartbreaking that they're just, they created this beautiful life for their kids. And she was doing fucking everything she could for this little piece of shit terrorist. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the end result is he's throwing a party and just trashing their house and throwing, like, not even respectful. And he's lying them down on face first. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, and just kind of casually just taking the, really, the pillars, the foundation of the house they built. And
you know what they said about his dad? Is that his dad would be outside with his boys until it got too dark to either throw the football or play basketball or swim in the backyard. His dad was always, like, a family man with his kids. And, like, he was, like, to a fault almost sometimes. Like, this kid was just fucking, he was pure evil.
Wow.
I know. So Michael had stayed roughly 45 minutes after he
Michael, do better.
I have my own bone to pick with Michael. He gets arrested later on, too. But
he does?
I didn't even include it in my script. 2018, he got arrested for... He bought a gun illegally, then he was on probation, then he fucking broke his probation. They had to move Tyler because he was in the St. Lucie County Jail, and they had to move Tyler when they brought his buddy in because he, it's a long
story. Well, you can't have the two of them together because they're...
I don't know, buddies.
Like, oh, yeah.
But so before leaving, though, Michael at least had the fucking wherewithal. He took 10 tabs of Percocet that were there that he knew Tyler planned on taking his own life with, and he hid them on him.
Okay. It's still not a full redemption.
I know, but, you know, it's something. At 2:30, the cops showed up because the neighbors had called in a noise complaint. Tyler told the remaining guests to hide in his bedroom.
Oh, my God.
And he was able to talk his way out of, you know.
No.
Yeah, the cops left. They were like, sounds great.
Like Dahmer.
Exactly.
Like the cops of Dahmer. Yeah. You got him right there. You're there.
But then this kid's too, like, his fucking eyeballs were bulging out of his head. He was not an old 17. So it's not like there's got to be beer cans everywhere. Yeah. Like there has to be at least something that they could have booked this kid on. They were like, you know what? We're actually, you seem great.
Well, see, I mean, later. Plus you pull up to a house that's got, you know, probably cars in the driveway, cars on the street. It's a party, right? Yeah. And then you get there, it's all quiet.
Well, a lot of the people had left by this point because it ran through the party at like by 2 o'clock that someone else was having a party. So they all went to do that party. And then like they still had the stragglers still at Tyler's party at about 2:30.
Guys, there's another party. Sweet. Yeah, this has got two dead families over there. Woo!
So,
four Christmases.
Oh my God. So at 4:40 in the morning, Tyler posted again to Facebook, and it read, "Party again at my house. Hit me up."
Wait, another party?
Another party, like 2 hours after everybody fucking left.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine getting to that party? You're like, hey, we're here for the... It's still really fucking dirty.
Mark Kamek.
He's got more bush, good bush, or whatever.
Yeah, he's like, hey, it's more beard. The selfie was a little blurry. Can we get another one real quick?
So, that was Michael.
Oh, I'm
Mark sorry. Was the guy that got the beer for him.
Oh, I'm so, so confused.
So thankfully, as soon as Michael left that party, he did call Crime Stoppers.
Mm-hmm.
He had told them everything, and officers had parked across the street from Tyler's home, and Officer Charles Green would say that he heard someone talking inside the house. Through the front window, he saw a shadow of a person walking back and forth, so he crouched down by the window, and he peered in through the blinds. And Tyler was pacing back and forth in the living room, talking to himself with a very disturbed look on his face. He said he was not blinking at all. Green would also write in his police report that his eyes were very wide and not blinking. Tyler grabbed a stack of books from the bookshelf and marched them into the back bedroom where his parents were. And he would just continually dump the books like onto where his parents were.
All right.
So it kind of seems like...
He's trying to burn the house down?
I don't think he's trying to burn the house down. I think what he's trying to do is like put as much between him and his parents as possible. Like the more stuff he can just put onto them. Like
trying to bury his problems?
Yeah, it's not going to work though. So he was doing this in a frantic manner, and he did it 3 times in total that the cops sat there. They were like, Kate, somebody's got to fucking ring the doorbell.
A lot of books.
Somebody's getting weird in there. So the officers finally knocked and they rang the doorbell. Tyler answered, and they said that it was very apparent this time that he was completely out of his gourd.
Oh my God.
He told them immediately that he knew he was going to jail, so for them to just take him. They handcuffed Tyler and went into his home. They would find the family's black lab locked in a closet. And once they were finally able to get into Blake and Mary Jo's bedroom, they found their bodies.
Lab was
fine.
Ooh.
Both the dogs were fine. They were just really, really scared. Yeah. Mm. Black Lab's name was Sophie.
I love human names for dogs. Isn't that right, Clark? Yeah, good boy.
So is Clark even over there?
No, he's upstairs. He's just on his little
You're just
bed there.
Looking at his bed, talking to him. He's not there. So after the Hadley's funeral, a friend, so this just, to me, this kind of shows what Tyler should have been, what he should have, you know, he was raised by these
Could
same people.
Could have been, yeah.
So after the Hadley's funeral, a friend asked Tyler's brother, Ryan, what he was going to do. And he responded by saying that night he was going to go see Tyler in jail and that his parents wouldn't have wanted him to abandon his brother. And then he said, I don't know what I'm going to say. I'll probably just sit there and cry.
Wow. You have to, though. Right?
I don't know. I'd be like,
I know. I know, but yeah, shit.
I'd be like, here, I snuck you in some cyanide pills. Take these real quick.
I'd be like, here's a file. Like, did you put a file in here? No, I baked as hard as I could, actually. It's just the crust.
So a lot of Tyler's idiot friends had some super smart things to say.
Sweet.
A lot of them blamed the parents for being too hard on poor Tyler.
Non-disciplinarians.
Yep.
Yeah.
Matt, they took his cell phone when he got arrested. That's fucking crazy.
When he got arrested.
Who takes someone's cell phone for getting arrested? So fucking
crazy. Well, he's going to have more taken now he's in jail.
Yeah. So other friends or fucking people that didn't know he existed, thought that this was epic. Like, they had been hurrying at a house that had, like, dead people in the next room.
Jesus. I would be, like, sick, like, just mortified.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to take my kids when they're teenagers, and I'm just going to move to an island so that they can't do anything that so badly affects their life. Because teenagers are just so fucking stupid. Don't let them have any contact with drugs or anything that's going to mess up their little developing brain. And don't let them say anything to anyone because they're going to say something fucking ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to be marred for the rest of their life. Like, these fucking morons that thought it was epic. Like, give me a fucking break. Wait until you're a parent and see if you think it's epic.
Yeah, that's the parents of those kids saying that party's epic. They got to be pretty.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Fuck. Afraid?
Yeah. It was the coolest. All right, hang on. I'm just putting together a list here.
Yeah, like, fuck, man. All the parents all of a sudden just have gun cabinets for their hammers. So, as far as Tyler goes, he has not shown that much remorse. Shocking.
Hmm.
He gave himself the nickname Hammer Boy.
What an asshole.
He often signs autographs for inmates.
That's weird.
Yeah. However, in a letter to his grandparents, he does show some sort of remorse. I don't know if it's just, if I'm being frank, I don't know if this kid's fucking smart enough to fake emotions. So maybe it's real. I don't know. So he wrote to his grandparents, I was just living my life as normal as a 17-year-old kid. And the next thing, I'm in the middle of St. Lucie County Jail. I ruined a lot of people's lives and I can't seem to forgive myself. Okay, that's probably a good fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
I find myself crying a lot because of the guilt. Every day I beg for forgiveness and I ask God not to send me to hell. I don't want to go there. Father Michael told me that if I just confess my sins and repent them, God will forgive me for everything. I just can't get rid of all this guilt. It's swallowing me whole. I'm extremely nervous that I'm going to get a life sentence. Okay.
Okay.
Probably 2 life sentences.
Yeah, good point.
It's making me pretty depressed.
Aww.
I want to say I'm really sorry for all the grief I've stirred up. I know everyone thinks I'm a psychopath and all, but I really am sorry for everything. I've been praying every day for forgiveness and for a decent plea or offer. I should get one since it's my first offense.
Oh, fuck you.
I feel bad for Ryan, and especially you and my other grandparents for the grief I've caused. I feel like Ryan doesn't love me anymore. I know he does, but he's just going through a rough time.
Yeah, he's just having a bit of a rough go with you, you fucking weirdo.
You know, he's not comfortable in his own body, and you murdered his fucking parents.
He's going through a rough, he's at the awkward.
He's been fighting with his fiance, and like that whole fucking murdering his parents thing you did. That's really fucking.
He think that was pretty cool.
So he says, I know he does, but he's just going through a rough time. It's so hard going through this. I'm scared, and I feel so alone. It's like, well,
guess who you could have leaned on?
You know? And you know what? That was another thing, is that one of the relatives said that he was so close with Mary Jo, and like they were like really affectionate. And like, I think it was like a week before the murders, they were like sitting and watching a movie, and they were like kind of like cuddled close to each other. Mm-hmm. And he just like rested his head on her shoulder.
Oh, that's sweet. Or not, actually, now that I think of it.
You really can compartmentalize things. Yeah. Sentences from an entire story.
Well, I don't have like a whole lot of delay between my brain and my mouth. So sometimes I'm hearing things for the first time. Aww. As you are as well. And then I'm like, wait a second, am I saying that? That can't be right.
So in 2014, Tyler was sentenced to 2 life sentences in prison with no parole.
Nice.
Bye. But his case was reopened due to the fact that he was a juvenile when the crimes were committed, and all cases involving juveniles were to be reviewed.
Fuck you.
If they have been sentenced to life, to see what they had, you know, if they had a decent chance of rehabilitation. His defense team wanted him to serve 40 years, but the judge upheld his previous conviction.
Ew.
He actually said that if anyone deserves a life sentence, it's this guy.
Judge, I love it.
So in 25 years, his case will be up for another review because of the whole fucking... He was literally like weeks away from his 18th birthday. So it was like,
yeah,
he was still a juvenile. But for now, he's in prison for the rest of his natural life. And that is the case of the murders of Blake and Mary Jo Hadley.
Wow.
So I just wanted to, because I kind of find it funny, I kind of find it inappropriate. I don't know, but I just have to include this last part here.
Okay.
So I got most of my information for... this, you know, they did a humongous article in Rolling Stones magazine. Nice. But I wanted to mention one thing because they wrote in this article, okay, like this is a very reputable magazine, right?
100%. Yon Winner?
Sounds, yeah. 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 Like they made Britney look so hot in like 97.
That's true, with the American guitar.
Hey-o.
Yeah.
So they mentioned how at one point Tyler went into his bedroom and there was a girl that was sitting on his bed. Now, they gave the first and last name of this girl. I'm not going to do that because it's super weird, but they did first, last name, and they described her by saying she was a chubby black-haired girl known to friends as Kay Nasty.
Jesus.
And wait. So, and then they go on to say that Tyler told her he would probably be going away for 60 years. And when she asked why, he said, you'll find out tomorrow. So that was the extent of what this girl had to do with this case. And they decided to call her chubby and call her Kay Nasty.
Jesus Christ. I'm
like, did her ex-boyfriend write this fucking article?
Like, is there no juvenile laws for people at the fucking party? Like publication.
Why does it have to say she's a chubby black-haired girl? What does her looking like anything have to do with anything?
Yeah.
Kay Nasty. I tell you what. So what did you write, Dan? Fuck. What did you have?
I wrote killed parents.
And you were really excited about
it.
When I said that the house smelled like death, you were practically...
I know. I like lit up. I was like, all right. Like, okay, I try not to judge people how they behave after an incident. Right? Mainly it's victims.
Okay.
But like...
So you're talking with the friends.
Yeah.
The quote-unquote friends that didn't know he existed. Gotcha.
Yeah. And then...
Because I'm still going to judge him after this incident, like, no matter what.
Right? Well, I mean, wouldn't you kind of a little...
Yeah, I don't know. Like, imagine... Oh, God. And there were so many, like, ridiculous fucking... Like, there was quotes in there from these kids that, like, one girl was just like, yeah, his mom took his phone away. Like, if they didn't want to die, they shouldn't have done this.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Well, yeah, like, his mom took his phone away. What'd you think was going to happen?
You should arrest all those people that think this is justified, because if anything fucking just, you know, slightly inconveniences them, mm-hmm. they're killing everyone.
If I was Apple, I would take away their phones.
Oh, my God. Then
force them to use a Samsung.
And then they...
I'll tease them.
Please. Well, what's worse than murder? Just kidding, guys. If you have a Samsung, that's great.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's that case.
Fucking hate
How
partying.
About
Do you think this guy liked partying?
He didn't have any fucking friends.
Yeah, he just liked being alone and doing drugs.
And so, like, when they described him, they said that, like, he was, like, one of the... when I was in high school, we called them scrapes. Like,
yeah, okay.
It was, like, the ones that, like, stood off and, like, they would smoke their cigarettes down and, like, the valley, and then they were doing pills all the time.
It's scrapes. God, oh my God, a scrape look at me the other day? It was fucking crazy. Oh my God, I was having a cigarette with the scrapes. You're such a badass.
But they were like the ones that were like, they're always doing drugs and like they're skipping classes. And you're like, oh my God, I haven't seen that guy for like 3 weeks. And he like just walks in and he just smells sweet.
Was it the scrapes that gave you the nickname El Nasty?
Well, yeah, no. Actually, I gave that to myself.
K Nasty.
K Nasty, that chubby black haired girl. What the fuck? Am I just so like...
No, that's wrong.
That's fucking rude,
it's
right?
Wrong. It's wrong. First of all, the fact that she was named is wrong.
And, like, if it's maybe the Inquirer, we're talking about fucking Rolling Stones, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's pretty fucked up. But
wow.
Yeah, so that's that about that.
Crazy.
Yep.
Was there any food at the party? No.
I mean, maybe. Yeah, you know what? They did say that they were raiding the cupboards for food.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and of course, like, I'm sure this kind of goes without saying, but the whole, like, beer and stuff, that whole situation was funded by him stealing money out of his parents' accounts.
Oh,
yeah. They actually caught him on
the bush.
Yeah, they caught him on like the ATM
cam,
and he was like riding up on his four wheeler. So he was just having a great day. Wow. All around.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
What an asshole.
So that's Tyler Hadley for you guys. So
4 years, Dick.
He is in there forever.
Wow.
And RIP to Mary Jo and Blake because they seemed like really great people, and they obviously made one really great son.
Yeah. He might be the first Blake. We don't know. We don't. I can't confirm that, can you?
You know what? I can't.
I didn't think so.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening, guys.
Bye.